now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Seal of God. The reason God uses analogies and symbolism is whereby you can go to how that particular item or thing, whichever the case may be, is utilized in your daily life. Therefore, you can put the spiritual content to it with more meaning and understanding. A seal was an object that has been used, it's been used from almost the beginning of time. And who carried the seal? The king, the head guru, whoever happened to be in charge, whether it was Babylon or wherever. Seals were utilized even on the chains of slaves. The owner's stamp or seal was placed upon that slave in one way or the other. Branding was done to cattle almost from conception by an ear or whatever the case may be, to mark or to seal ownership. And the seal, once it was made, even the mold from which it was made was broken, and there could never be another one made. Even here in this great, our Wild West, we had people, the brand was a seal. And many times brands were copied or changed to rustle cattle, hopefully in a legal type way, making it look legal. So it's important, in as much as God knows that you know. Let's take even in the case of papyrus. Many times they were sealed. The original was sealed, and a copy was made to copy from. But that original was sealed by taking, let's say, a string or a flax lace, and then it was sealed to show ownership. Now, many of you have a seal if you're a slave to God. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Probably the thing you should remember is that the holder of the seal is the holder of power, always has been. Might and right come together in the seal if it's handled adequately, properly, and it settles it, basically. In other words, let's use the analogy again of branding, which most of us are familiar with on livestock. You look at the animal, there's the brand, that settles it. It's that man's property. The same as if God's seal is on you, you're God's property. That settles it. There's nothing else to say about it. The seal says it to one and all. That's why that if you possess the seal of God, as it's written in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, Satan says, "Keep your hands off my property, Satan." And Satan does that up until the time of the two witnesses. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go to the Word then and find out all we can, basically, or at least a start. We'll be doing more of this, on what that seal is. This will be taught on more than one level, as you well know, for many people's sakes. And you just feel at home wherever you like, all right? In those levels of teaching. First, let's talk about seals and how it was utilized in the Word. Just as an example, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to begin at verse 1. This would be Paul, and he says, "Am I an apostle?" An apostle being one sent forth of God. Question. "Am I not free?" Question. "Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord?" Question. Paul had, because he saw him on the road. He spoke to him. "Are not ye my work in the Lord?" Question. There are four questions considered there. And you might ask them yourself sometime. Are you chosen by God? By that I mean, do you love God? If you do, there's probably a reason that you were chosen. chosen because you volunteered for salvation through free will, or whatever the case may be as it applies to you personally. Verse 2, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal, there's the word, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. You are my proof. You're my seal. That when I look upon you and God sees that you have accepted the word that he gave me through Christ, is what Paul is saying, then you become my seal. And this was, I'm simply using this as one method in which the word is used. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas? So what he's saying here, he's standing up for his rights. The subject just before this, and it melted into it, was things sacrificed to idols. Let's take a steak sacrificed to a broomstick they're worshiping down at a certain cafe. If there's not someone there with tender ears that it would hurt, you and I know that that broomstick is not a god. And if it's a good steak and it was killed properly, hey, eat that sucker. It's all right. We can partake of it. No problem with it. But if there happened to be someone there that was not educated in God's word, then it would become wrong. So you have the power and the authority as a sent one that never crossed God and never offend a little one, if it's at all possible. Never, never offend a little one. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians and find a different way that it's used. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll get into a more in-depth meaning. Let's pick it up, if we may, at verse 19. How are you sealed? Verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, again, Paul teaching, even by me and Silvanus, and Timotheus, or Timothy, as we like to say, was not yea or nay, but in him was yea. There was a divine yes there. You see, what this applies to is that many religious organizations say, well, according to old brother Joe Blow, you know, we were to do it this way, but on the other hand, brother so-and-so says do it this way or that way. The truth is, what did Christ say? And that's a divine yes. You stick to God's word and don't listen to men, this man or any man or any other man, without checking it out in God's word. You must think for yourself and come to the conclusion that with God, you can't go wrong, as long as you do your homework and as long as you check it out. And none of this yay or nay or on this hand or the other hand. God's word always will give you a divine yes or no, whichever the case may be. Verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea. All his promises to you are positive. They're your promises. Do you claim them? If you don't, forget it. You're certainly not going to receive them if you don't claim them or stand on them. Or if you haven't read God's word enough to be ignorant of them, you're not going to receive them. You have to ask for them and claim them. As one that carries what? Well, let's find out. And in him, all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. 21, listen carefully. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God. It was God that chose, that anointed, you might insert the word ordained if you like. Many of you are ordained as witnesses, and perhaps you're not aware of it. because you witness for him. You talk about this word. Maybe a neighbor, maybe a relative. He said it was God that did it, that touched your heart when you gave your heart to him. Verse 22. Who hath also sealed us. Underline that in your mind. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, this word, earnest, is a very important word. It is our hobkin. And it means, it's like you would, it's a legal term. If you're going to buy something and you haven't quite made up your mind if you want it, you put down earnest money. All right? That's what this term means in the Greek. The earnest part of the price has already been paid. That's what it's saying. It's guaranteed to you. What he's telling you is if you accept that seal, those promises are guaranteed to you. The down payment has already been made. And naturally we know this leads right back to the cross for a Christian today. But so important. And given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts, meaning in our minds, you should know that. And if you don't know that Greek word, when you get home, check it out in your Strong's Concordance and memorize it. Because it's your guarantee. If you buy something, do you keep the guarantee? Well, most of us don't, but sometimes wish we had. This is one guarantee you'd better keep in mind. Because it will strengthen you to know God promised it, I claim it, I'm going for it. Whether you succeed or not. Certainly, if you don't, you will know that God has another plan for you sooner or later, down the road or right away. He didn't intend that. That's your love for God, to trust Him, know Him, love Him, and know when you're sealed in Him, the price has been paid. It's guaranteed. Guaranteed by what? By the Word of God, and there is no higher. Sealed. Okay, let's go, if we may, to the book of Ephesians. I'm sorry, I think I want to finish that chapter. Hold your place there. I want to finish that chapter. Verse 23. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I come not as yet unto Corinth. 24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith. Nobody has dominion over anyone else's faith. That's yours. You either have it or you don't. But are helpers of your joy, and by your faith you stand. That's what you stand by. He had somewhat against them, and he was going to take names and kick dragon when he got there. And he said, I don't want to come down there and shake you up at this time. Just be happy in this and get your act together. That's basically what he's saying. But he tells us there about the sealing. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. You'll all remember the book of Ephesians. It's written on multiple levels, especially to the saints who were chosen before the foundations of this earth age. Verse 4 documents that. I say again, verse 4 documents it. So you're going to have to expand your mind and give in to both ends of the spectrum, elect and free will. And with your knowledge of that, let's go to verse 11 in this first chapter and let's absorb it. The subject, seal of God. Verse 11 reads, Ephesians chapter 1, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined, that's a powerful word, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things. And God does work all things. Do you know what those things are? They're written here. If you don't, why haven't you read it? Who worketh all things according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. In other words, his counsel is his word as it is written. That's exactly how it's going to come to pass. The thing is, do you have a destiny? Have you known since you were a child there was more to God's word maybe than you'd been taught? That you had a purpose? There's something in there? I don't know. Think about it. God's word is powerful, especially if you're sealed. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, that's to say this word, the good news, God's word, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, sharpen up for me, ye were sealed with, here it is, sealed with what? Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So, we learn that in carrying the seal of God, that certainly it begins with the Holy Spirit. But if you have the Holy Spirit in you, then you're sealed. Whether free will or election, that's the beginning. Well, what is that mark? What is that seal? The Holy Spirit. It couldn't be made any clearer. Read the next verse. Which, he's going to explain it for you a little further, which is the earnest. There's that word again. Oh, man. That means guaranteed, down payment, paid for. Which the payment of our inheritance, the guarantee of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Makes God's promises good. They're guaranteed. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest or guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, that is to say, when it's paid in full, the redemption of God's children unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So here we find that this seal of God is the Holy Spirit. And this is very important, beloved, because soon, when the spurious Messiah appears, there is one seal that keeps Satan away from you. So it's important that you understand the seal of God. It's important that you understand your inheritance. What is it? He just promised it to you. He said, I've already made the down payment on it, and when the day of redemption comes to buy, it's paid in full. It's all right here. That's why it should encourage you to catch that that's already got your brand on it. He says it's yours. I would hate to be uneducated to the point I didn't know how to claim it. I really would. And I'm not talking down to anyone. I'm not shaming anyone. But we're late in the day, and if you don't know, then you need to find out. It all comes through the covenants, the promises that he has made. He has work for some to do. Well, I thought all we had to do was believe. Well, hey, that's your cup of tea, do it. The only thing you get to take with you is your works, as it's written in Revelation 13. If all you did was believe and had no work, when it comes payday, you ain't got much coming, friend. So if you ain't got much in this world, why in the world wouldn't you want a lot there when it's such a pleasure to serve him and just witnessing, not full time, not to become a religious fanatic, but wearing that seal of the Holy Spirit and sharing brings you so much wealth in his promise. It's rich in. It's guaranteed. So, if your faith is right, you'll claim it. Because the seal comes from that warm touch of the Holy Spirit when it touches you. That's the beginning. Intuitively, that's the start for the Christian. Why? You don't have to pay the price. It's already paid. That isn't to say it was for free. He paid an awesome price for it. And you should never cease thanking Him for that. Turn with me to the fourth chapter of this great book of Ephesians. I want to pick it up with about verse 29. Now listen to me for a moment before we begin reading. What this sets you in motion, if you happen to be one of those that was chosen, and you think, now wait a minute, if I were chosen, as he had stated in chapter 1, before the foundations of this world, and have already been justified, I ought to be able to do anything I want to and get away with it. Because I'm already chosen. I'm one of God's elect. I've been saved. You're in danger if that's your attitude. All right? Severe danger. I realize all of us fall short, but that's, I just wanted you to know what this is talking about. He's saying, don't steal, don't do any of those things. And then verse 29, let no corrupt communication, this bad language, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, be a comfort to a people, don't upset people. So much easier to be a comfort than it is to cuss and raise hell and upset people. Just be a discomfort rather than a comfort. That's not the mark of one of God's children. And don't ever think God won't punish you for it today. I really feel sorry for these people that think, I'm one of God's elect and do whatever I want to. Fool, fool, fool. God will punish you. And we all should know, because we all fall short. There's certainly none of us perfect. Okay, now, subject again, I want to take you back to it. I was just setting the field, the stage for what he was talking about here. The subject is seal of God. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Well, why? If you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, He's with you. And it grieves Him when you act that way. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now I want to read that again to you. Very important. What are you sealed with? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't disappoint Him. We all do at times, but prevent it. Prevent it as best you can. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's a good way to live, especially in your family, as best you can. You know, there are times to win an argument and to lose an argument. And sometimes you're the winner if you lose it temporarily, or just zip it. Alright? Just keep quiet. And of course, silence at certain times can sure create furor on the other part too. But, I mean, answer kindly. Hey, what difference does it make as long as you get along? Now, I hope you understand what, value I'm placing on that. If it's something that doesn't amount to a hill of beans, well, you're bigger than that. You're bigger than a hill of beans, all right? Who cares? What difference does it make? Stick to the main subject, and that's getting along and being happy. And sometimes it's best to do it that way. And there are times that people have... And I'm drifting from the subject. I don't know, did somebody need this or something? I'm talking really about God's seal is what I'm supposed to be talking about. But it's so much better to get along and love one another, because Satan likes nothing better than to work into your home over something that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. If he can get you acting like worse than little children, then certainly he's got your number. And if you have the Holy Spirit in you, within you, what do you think that makes him feel like? Being taken on a joyride like that. What do you think it makes the Holy Spirit of God feel like when you take him on a joyride like that? Arguing over nonsense. You know? Think about it. That's what he's saying here. Sealed with the seal of God, which is the Holy Spirit. God is so good to us. He really is. Now, I kind of wanted you to see that the being sealed with the Holy Spirit can come on many levels. I hope you can understand that, taking the spectrum of free will and election. And please don't let that confuse you. I'm just saying, I don't want you to oversimplify it by my words or the simplicity of this scripture, which is written on three levels. Okay. Seal of God, the Holy Spirit in your mind. It's not some mark on you, some seal or stamp. It is using the seal that was impressed in wax or clay. Originally, in the papyrus, they used clay, wet clay, and then when it dried, boy, you could tell if somebody had messed with it, broken the seal. But in the spiritual sense, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't show. It can't be seen by others except your actions. That's why he said, behave yourselves. And within that, you wear and bear the seal of God, for the seal of God is the Holy Spirit on many levels. Example. We have a book called the Book of the Seven Seals. And you're not going to understand that Book of Seven Seals unless you understand the seal of God. It's not going to fly. Open your Bibles with me to the seventh chapter of that book of Revelation. The seals, all of them but the seventh, have been opened at that time, basically. And I'm going to switch gears on you, and we're going to go to that book of seals. Presumably, if you understand the seal of God, you'll understand the seals of the book of seals, which is the book of Revelation. You got seals, you got trumpets, and so forth, but the seals are first. Certainly, you should understand them. Now, there are four winds that are utilized in God's Word, ruach in the Hebrew, it means spirit, that God will utilize to shake both heaven and earth to bring an end to this particular dispensation. And these four winds are ready, they're anxious. If you want to make a note for a further study on your own, make a note of Daniel chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 37 gives you a real good side study on the four spirits. But back to the four spirits here in chapter 7, subject is seals. Verse 1 reads, Revelation 7, 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. We can't let the end come yet. That's what it's saying. Well, we're all ready for the end. Well, God says we're not. Something has to happen first. What is it? Verse 2. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal, I say seal, of the living God. The seal of who? The seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, to destroy it at the end of this dispensation, saying, verse 3, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, what's in your forehead? Your brain. You're supposed to use it. In other words, to bring the Holy Spirit into those that would. Now, you know, we're not going to carry this further. You know this is where the 144,000 were sealed. But you that are students of the millennium know that even they fall short. As it's written in the 44th chapter of Ezekiel, that great millennium chapter, that they, when they hear the voice of those that are sealed, testify, witness, as it's written in Mark 13, then they do come out before the end and overcome. But that must be placed in their minds first. Many of you, I'll put legs on this for you, many of you have witnessed to people and they turn their nose up at you. Hey, don't worry. They won't forget it. And when Mark 13 comes to pass and the Holy Spirit, your seal, speaks through you, they will believe in many cases. You're not the judge. That's God's business. You don't know whether they're sealed or not. But that truth must go forth. Those people must be sealed. Then the four winds do release. So, it's very important, this subject of seals. You know, I'm just going to fill a little here. We're not going to go there. But if we were to go to the 8th chapter, the 7th seal would be broken. Man, you break a seal and it's broken, you know, it's got to be resealed. And then there was silence in heaven. And I say that for you scholars of Revelation, you know that's when the end comes. Because Satan, why is it silent in heaven? Because the accuser isn't there any longer. He's been booted out right to the earth. And woe to those on the earth, as it's written in that 12th chapter. Well, that's the book of the seals. That will be for a different study, a different time. What about the Old Testament? Did the Old Testament give any alignment about seals or anything of that nature? Well, let's go to the Minor Prophets, third book from the end of the Old Testament. Right before Zechariah in the Minor Prophets, you got an old man. His name was Haggai. Haggai was an old prophet, and he really got upset when they were supposed to be building the new temple of God in Jerusalem, and all they were doing was building their own houses and sitting on their duff. You all know what? I pass. Okay. Lazy bunch of people, all right, looking out for themselves. I got to remember we're televising this now, okay? It's not just for the tape audience only. And we'll let that slide. So, Haggai he got right down where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. But God used that man to get things in gear whereby the end could come to pass, as it's written in the book of Zechariah. Let's begin, if we may, in this chapter 2 of Haggai, verse 21. I'm sorry, 20. And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 4th and 20th day of the month, saying, 21, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Now there's only one time, again, that God's going to do that. And that's at the very end. It's written in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. When he shakes both the earth and heaven is when God's tribulation takes place. So that sets the stage of time for you. What does Zerubbabel mean in the Hebrew tongue? It's important. Born in Babel. That means born in confusion. We all are. You're born in a flesh body. And the confusion of the world is around you until you begin to absorb the Word of God, whereby you're no longer biblically illiterate, and you begin to absorb that truth and the promises and become children of God, good servants of His. And this is why His name was Zerubbabel, born in Babel, but He didn't stay there. stay in confusion, in other words. 22. And I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms. Why? He's got his own King of Kings and Lord of Lords he's going to put in office. And he's got a seal, all right? Throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Brother fighting against brother, Jacob and Esau, remember, Ezekiel 38 and 39. Verse 23. In that day, that's important, that statement is. In that day. What day? Pretty close to the end, friend. In that day and during that time when all this is formulating, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet. For I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Do you know what a signet is? A signet's a seal. Alright? That's like the king's ring that you press into the wax. And it's that wax that carries that seal. But in the spiritual sense, you know what the seal of God is. This is God that gave him the seal. And what is it? It's the ability to implant or to lead someone to accept the Holy Spirit in their forehead by truth, by God's Word, that it would come to pass. Just as Haggai got the motivation instilled in the minds of the people to build, call it the Church of God if you want to, God's house, the temple, then the many-membered body must be built in this generation or established as well. And it's by that signet, which is what? The Holy Spirit. The teaching of the Holy Spirit. What is Christ? This Word is the Word, the living Word. Got it? Okay. Turn on over into Zechariah. As we come to the time that the word Joshua in the Hebrew is utilized in this third chapter of Zechariah. Joshua is Yeshua in the Hebrew tongue, which means Jesus to you in English. And him and Satan are arguing. Satan is the old, we're not going to read it, but you would pick that up in the first verse of this third chapter of Zechariah. But what I want to continue on to is to bring you up to speed concerning that time, just before God shakes. He says in this eighth verse, "Hear now, O Yeshua, the high priest." Verse 8, chapter 3, Zechariah. The high priest. "Thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at." There's no gender in that. That means humans wondered at. "For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch." That's Messiah. When does the Messiah come again? The seventh trump. Certainly not at the seventh seal. I just say that to let you know this is bringing you up to speed here as to where you're at chronologically as far as in time. That's just before the end. What's he going to do just before the end? "For behold, the stone that I have laid before Yeshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes." Now this is the 7,000 mentioned in Romans chapter 11. "Behold, I will..." That's eyes that see. Eyes that see what? Eyes that see the truth. "Behold, I will engrave..." Got it? Don't overlook it. "I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day." Whoop, zoop, just like that. Praise God, it's going to happen. But that's going to be the end. The word graven and engrave is patung in the Hebrew tongue. And it means to incise, or well enough, you know, that's a signet, all right? It's an engraving that leaves an impression. The prime root of that is patuach, okay? You know? And it means literally to loosen. Many of you have heard that word in Hebrew before, patuach. Right? You've heard men say it, all right? And it means to loosen. If I had really bared down on the K, you wouldn't have caught what I was talking about, okay? All right, so there we go. The engraving of it, who's going to do that? That's God speaking. I'm going to do it. And who are we talking about? Well, we're talking about Joshua, Jesus's, the branch, Messiah's work. Chapter 4, and I think it's well that we cover this right now. And we got time. I think it's important. It tells you how things are going to solidify as you build up to the two witnesses mentioned in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. And bearing with seal in mind. And the angel, chapter 4, verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and walked me, and waked me rather, as a man that is waked out of his sleep. He woke me up where I got open my eyes where I could see what was going on. And said unto me, what seest thou? Take a look. What do you see? And I said, I've looked, and behold, a candle all of gold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon. That's the same as the seven eyes in that stone. And seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. That's symbolism. He's going to tell you what it means. Hang around. 3. And 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side thereof. What is an olive tree? It gives forth the olive oil, and that's the oil that was in the lamps of the 10 virgins, the oil of our people. Verse 4. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Explain it to me. What are they? 5. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. There's that name again, the one of the signet that does the sealing of the end times. The word of God through that one born in confusion, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, what's God's Spirit? What is God's Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit. And what is this God? What is the Holy Spirit? It's what you're sealed with. Man's not going to do it. God's going to allow the oil of our people to flow through the people, those that work for Him, and accomplish these things by God's might, not a person's might. Right? Verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Mountain is always a nation, symbolically, in the language. What is this great nation? Of course, it's the one world system. That's what it is. Who are you? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt be a plain. He's going to level you. He's going to flatten you. But now, don't be foolish and say, yep, Zerubbabel's going to do it. No, God just got through telling you, by my might, God does it. Don't ever give man credit for what God does. That's dangerous. Okay, you got it? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting and crying, grace, grace unto it. What is the headstone? The capstone. The stone the builders rejected. It's Christ. Right? Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see thee plummet. That's the plumb bob. In the hands of Zerubbabel, with these seven, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Well, what did God put in Zerubbabel's hand? A signet, a seal. What is a plumb bob? I'm sorry, a plummet. I answered my question, did I not? It's a plumb bob. How many of you, if we have carpenters in here, they'll tell you what a plumb bob is. If you put a string on a plumb bob or any weight, God's natural gravity will give you a straight up and down unless the wind is blowing real hard. As a real good carpenter would say, then you can bring it to just a little better than flush. Nobody's understanding my humor today. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a little better than flush. If it's flush, it's flush. All right? I know there's carpenters in here that grin to themselves when I said that. Anyway, be that as it, you're really in bad shape when you have to ask people to smile at your jokes. You know? That's sad. That is really, really sad. Especially, it just hurts an old Irishman right down here to the core. I'm jesting. All right. But how do you know the signet wasn't on the end of that string, is my point. All right? The plumb bob. That's that keeps it straight. The Word of God. That God does, not man. All right? Verse 11. Then answered I and said unto him, who are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick upon the left side thereof? This would be just, you might as well go to, don't go there, but Revelation 11, where it shows you these same trees and the same candlesticks. It'd be like asking, who are these two witnesses in that 11th chapter of Revelation 12? And I answered again and said unto him, who be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? Who are they? This lets you know where the knowledge and wisdom of the end times comes from in that final hour. The oil that had better be in the virgin's lamps. All right? You understand? For they are the two witnesses. Luke 13. Servants of God only. I want to say that. Servants of God only. Verse 13. And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. You notice how often this angel prompts him, don't you know what you're talking about? I mean, like he's kind of talking down to him, getting on his case. 14, then he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. That stand by who? By Satan, by whatever's fancy going, by whatever the whim of the people is. No, by the Lord they stand by him, by his word. And the Hebrew word is the bearers or the sons, no gender, of the fresh oil. Very important for you that wish to make a little deeper study of it. Now, so why is it important to you in this generation to understand, past where we are here, about the seal of God? We know the Holy Spirit is certainly involved, for it said that's what we were sealed with, was the Holy Spirit. That was the seal of God. I'm going to run you around just a little bit. We're going to go all the way back to the book of Revelation chapter 9. All right? Revelation chapter 9. Back to the New Testament. Some people get nervous when you stay in the Old Testament too long. They think, that's already passed. Well, it isn't. It's prophecy. The reason that it is important to you is for the following reason. Antichrist appears in this ninth chapter. His name is Apollyon, which is one of Satan's names. And those that have the seal of God, this is why it's important. The fourth verse only, Revelation chapter 9, And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. He said, you can't kill those that don't even have the seal. But those that have the seal of God, that's God saying, touch not mine anointed. So it's very important to you to understand the seal of God, because that is the Holy Spirit within you. That is your protector. God is the one that does it through that Spirit. God does all things. He expects you to work. Now, so it becomes very important that you understand the seal of God, how it got there, that's to say in your mind, where it came from, what it signifies. It's your guarantee. I can understand how when I make that statement, don't turn there necessarily unless you just want to, Matthew chapter 18 verse 10, where it says there, the saints, the set aside ones, the gospel people going forth, he says, hey, don't worry. They don't have to worry, for their angel has the face of God at any time they need him. You know? Think about that. Their angel has the face of God at any time. That means God's attention. Their angel can get God's attention at any time they want it. That's you getting in trouble. Zap. God gets the attention, and it's God, not the angel, that helps you out. And I'm sure that most of you have been in a time at one time when it looked like your life was closing down pretty fast. In a car, or if you're like me, a pilot or something, you do a lot of praying. Oh, Father, get me through this one. Okay. Worst thunderstorm I've ever been in. Just this one more time, Lord. You know? And it just seems like, seriously, that the life slows down, that God, some miraculous thing happens. I had it happen to me one time in a vehicle. I slammed the brakes in an old pickup and out of the El Toro Marine Base. Some old boy was trying to commit suicide or had gone to sleep. He pulled right over in front of me, headlight to headlight, and there was nothing but a ditch here. And I hit the brakes on that old truck, and they had never done it before, but the ones on this side locked, and it literally threw that truck out of that old boy's way. Just boom, just that quick. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Because I'd driven that truck quite a ways, quite a bit. It had never happened before. But that one time, and I'm not getting into miracle stories on you. God works in miraculous ways, all right enough. But what I'm saying is, all of you know that there's been a time in your life, somewhere, that you went, how did I get through that? Boom, just like that. Well, I believe that with all my heart. That guardian, I don't like to call them guardian angels. God didn't call him guardian angel in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 there. Just angel, watchman, watching you. But anyway, here we have this in the New Testament. What about the old? Is there anything new? Isn't God the same yesterday as He is today, and He will be tomorrow? Now, we were in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, or I was supposed to be. I read 5, but I meant 4. What if we were just to take a number, a book? Let's say Ezekiel, and let's say 9:4. And I just wonder if there'd be anything there about the seal. I don't know. Let's go look. Just see. I mean, that's taking a... Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. What does that say? It says there in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4, and the Lord said unto him, go, this is where the old boy took the ink pot. All right, remember? The priest took the ink pot. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark, that's a seal, upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. That would be like me saying today, go to the big city and go to those Christians that really hurt when they see the abominations that are taking place in this world today. Mark them. Put a seal on them. 5. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have you pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Judgment begins in the church, in other words. So, yeah, it was there. It was, the seal was there also in Ezekiel 9:4. Now, am I saying there's anything peculiar about 9:4? No, it just so happens that's where it's at. All right? But the point I want to make is God's the same and His message is simple and it doesn't change. That mark is the seal of God. And when the Holy Spirit touches you, it causes your heart to ache when you see the abominations in this world today. When you see the perversion. When you see people ruining their lives over nothing and for nothing. You're marked. You're a marked person because you have the seal of God, which is to say the Holy Spirit. Please do not oversimplify this. Take it on all three levels and realize that a seal of the Holy Spirit to one with election is one thing, and to someone with free will is something different. Not different necessarily. But one is more is expected out of the other. Why? I closed with that verse in Ezekiel because it begins at the sanctuary. And the sanctuary is where those dwell, spiritually dwell, that know better. God expects more from you. He really does. So, the seal of God, it's fantastic if you wear it. It sticks out like a neon sign. To some, that is to say, the others that bear that same seal. God loves you for that. Father, thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for that seal, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we know you're the same today as you were yesterday, and you're going to be tomorrow. That's why we can count on you, Father. That's why we can place our faith in you and in your word. We'll be real careful to give you the praise and the thanks for it. In the name of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus. Amen.
Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
This has been a long time I've been promising a children's